Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 17th of June, recording at 8:26 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And it's also a little earlier than I normally close because we've got just over half an hour here before Wall Street actually closes. But it's Friday, folks, and so I'm on the early shift. Now, this being Friday, it's a big picture, long-term outlook, and let's first, though, have a quick summary of what's happened, or a quick review of what's happened during the week. In terms of stock markets, it's been selling pressure all the way. There's been a little respite on some days, I hear, but including today, not in Asia, which was weak, but in European markets we had modest gains for most indices because Wall Street had seen a reasonable rally of half to three quarters of a percentage point when Europe closed. Wall Street's did a very small gain showing right now, the Americas, South American rather, and markets and Canadian markets are down. In long-dated government bond prices, they have rallied against that background, although there's a little bit of profit-taking today, so rallied throughout the week. But to say some profit taking today. That said, there was a big downward dynamic on Tuesday on U.S. Treasuries, but quickly reversed the next day. So there's still an uptrend there on the long dated futures. In currencies, it's more mixed, but really, you know, the dollar, the euro, and sterling are unloved currencies in here, and except by the currency equivalent of train spotters, the Asian group is firm overall. Australian dollar back up to 106 against the greenback. U.S. dollar index trading at 75 here right now. And in terms of precious metals, well, they've almost subdivided with palladium and platinum behaving more like industrial metals. This sometimes happens, particularly during an economic slowdown. And they've been soft this week. They've come back quite a way. And that includes today. We've currently got palladium at 747 and platinum at 1755. That's at least $100, I think, off its high that we had seen probably only last week. Gold, it's very steady relative to the other two, up $7 here today, 1537. And silver is also a little bit higher, 35.73. That's been they've given up a little ground this week, but silver and gold, but not much. Okay, what else to mention? Crude oil. This is important because we've had some significant downward dynamics this week, including a weekly key, big weekly key on Brent price. And as I speak today, WTI had sold off lower earlier on, but it's currently 93. That's down almost $2. Had been over a dollar lower. Ditto the Brent, which had fallen down to 111 and change. It's currently at 113, but that's down nearly a dollar again today. The industrial metals have been weaker as well, although copper hasn't given up that much. It's currently trading at $4.11.60. And that's really $4.11.6. Now, what else to mention? On the grain and bean complex, we've seen some significant profit taking this week, or dishoarding. Soybeans down 17 here today. That's the main mover. Natural gas has come back fairly sharply this week, currently at 4.33. Probably the strength standout is it's lean hogs and live cattle, and they've rallied steadily in here this week, and that may be related to the weaker tone in the feed prices. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, if we wanted to sum it all up in one word, it would be deleveraging. And that's cutting strongly across stock markets and also commodity markets. Now, the crunch factor in here, just to mention for new subscribers, and this is very much a review for everyone else, but the commodity markets, which really I was describing since, most of 2009 and 2010 as the next really good thing, the next great opportunity here. But this year, I was also saying that, yes, but it's becoming the next big problem, and that really culminated in the peak that we saw in crude oil prices, the spike upwards in, I should say, it was the spike upwards in crude oil prices that caused the problems. Now, there's never been a time in history, modern history at any rate, when a spike in crude oil prices did not cause slower economic growth, which was thoroughly reflected by stock markets, and this has been no exception. Now, the good news is that crude's coming off, but it's already done its damage, and stock markets have been discounting slower GDP growth and therefore slower corporate profits. They've also got other concerns here, and the concerns always look worse when a market is retreating. The Greek situation has certainly frightened a lot of investors, and understandably so. Then there's the housing foreclosures disaster in the USA, and that's worrying people. And then there's the tighter monetary policy led by India and China, and that continues to worry that region. And presto, we're in a full-blown correction here, and this is at least on the scale, I feel, on average, of what we saw in that April through August phase of 2010. And that was very frightening, as you may well recall, and sentiment really did deteriorate around August of last year. And we are seeing sentiment deteriorate in this current environment. We are also, and a factor contributing to that is that we are also seeing some capitulation selling. When I got back from my holiday 2 weeks ago, on the first Monday, I mentioned that we were susceptible to some capitulation selling, because that usually occurred towards the latter stages of a correction. In other words, some investors throw in the towel, having seen prices range and then start to slide, they worry and throw in the towel. That creates the oversold condition, and the next good buying opportunity. And you know what happened following those August lows in 2010? We had a mighty big rally, but I would not count on that happening to the same extent next time around, because we did have QE2, which certainly helped to spread the liquidity around. But I wouldn't be too pessimistic about it either. I mean, my feeling is that the capitulation selling that we're starting to see tells us that we're now moving into the latter stages of this correction. And that can be the worst part, because you do see some sharp declines, but it gets very oversold quite quickly and does set up the environment for the next recovery. When might that be? Well, I don't think we'll see the lows this month. It's not impossible, because we have had quite a good correction for a number of markets. I'm thinking in terms of some point in July and August. There's a good chance that we might well see a low of some importance. Worst case is this probably carries on through September and October. But in an interesting email that I had today, just saying, well, would we be seeing ranging, or would we be seeing sharp moves to the downside? How's it actually going to play out, and when will the next recovery occur? I think some of these stock markets will hold up relatively well. The ASEAN sector has held up extremely well. Germany has held up extremely well. The U.S. indices haven't done badly at all either. But I wouldn't assume that that's going to necessarily remain the case. They may catch some late sharp selling. Wall Street right now has come back to, or the S&P's come back towards that March low, and that was an important low, near the 1250 level. It's currently at around 1270, so 20 points above that. And it's also back to the 200-day moving average. And it is a short-term, it's oversold on a short-term basis. So that may steady the market. We could see a little bit of ranging here, possibly a modest rally. I don't think these markets can support a strong rally at this time. So I think the path of least resistance following a modest rally at best is that we do see markets move lower into July and probably August at least. But the lower they go, the better the buying opportunity will actually be. Now, what would create a decent fourth quarter for stock markets, or set the stage for a decent fourth quarter in stock markets carrying into the new year? And that's something that that's really been on the Fuller Money roadmap now for a number of months, that we would see this corrective phase and then have better markets by the fourth quarter. And that's still a realistic possibility, but here's what has to happen first. We do need to see commodity prices lower, and I think we also need to see stock markets lower. Among those commodity prices, we really do want to see crude oil fall quite sharply. That's possible. In the worst case scenario, the biggest fear that Owen and I have had is that we might see another spike to the upside in crude oil. We didn't think it would happen, but until you establish a downward trend, it does remain a risk, because the supply-demand balance is really quite tight. Well, this week's downward dynamics in crude oil are really very encouraging overall. And I think a lot of this is occurring because of the deleveraging that I mentioned at the very beginning of this broadcast, or near the beginning. And so we've got a number of people coming out of commodity tracker funds, and that's a good thing. I'm going to pause for a cough here, excuse me. Now, you go back to the beginning of the year, and you probably recall how many institutions were talking about their interest in commodities and how they were putting more of their money into commodities, and brokers were beefing up their commodity research and so on. Well, that's all understandable. We do have a secular bull market, which Fuller Money identified back in 2001 in commodity markets overall. But it's a highly volatile sector, and a secular bull market in commodities is certainly not going to escape the pull of the business cycle. And in a global growth slowdown, as we're experiencing, you're going to see some sharp downward moves as people deleverage and come out of those tracker funds, and other speculators come out of their long positions. But we really do need to see a further weakness. I'd like to see Brent well under that $100 level, say down in the 90s, in the low 90s at least, and I'd like to see this WTI come down into the low $80 region at minimum. Minimum. Now, if you get a bigger move downwards in crude oil, that'll set us up for a better recovery in stock markets later on. But it would also suggest that stock markets would get dragged lower here in the next 2, 3 months. And or that they, I've already forecast that, but that they would experience a sharper decline, one of the sharper declines. So worst case, probably this looks like a small bear market for some, but not all, stock market indices. And to put this in perspective, though, I don't want to exaggerate the risks. You know, we're not even back to the March reaction low here for the S&P, although I do think it will probably take out that low. Now, again, what would create the strong fourth quarter in equities in all probability? Lower crude, as I've just mentioned, and another important factor is that we would want to see, I want to see, China and India announce that they're near the end, or definitely at the end, of their monetary tightening cycle. Now, they don't know what they're going to be saying come fourth quarter because they can't. They've been very concerned about the inflationary pressures, as have central banks and governments in all of the growth economies. But they have certainly both ratcheted up rates considerably, particularly India. And China has dramatically increased the reserve requirements for its banks, probably has the highest reserve requirements of any banking sector. And if they see very clear signs that growth is slowing in those economies in response to the global slowdown and the higher interest rates in their respective countries, they could move very quickly away from that tighter monetary policy. And India actually signaled yesterday that with an eye on slowing growth, may be near the end of its rates hike cycle. I posted a report on that yesterday. So that would be a precondition. And if the growth economies stop tightening, let alone put the foot on the accelerator very gently, that would certainly be a very favorable background. So lower commodities, I think we'll get that, and the end of the tightening policies for growth economies led by China and India. I think there's a good chance that we will also get that. But we won't get that if we don't see the lower commodity prices. But that, again, the technical evidence suggests deleveraging, and that we will get the lower commodity prices. Now, what about bond markets against that background? Because long-dated government bond prices have rallied quite sharply. I think they're benefiting from the yield curve play. Certainly in the UK, Europe, and in the USA, that would be true. These banks are trying to recapitalize, and boy, do they need to do it with the bad debts they're holding. Through the yield curve. Now, QE2 has also helped to support those markets. A bit of fear has helped to support them. I thought the run was over, but earlier this week on Tuesday, but we've probably only seen a penultimate peak. On a long-term basis, I maintain that all this debt that's sloshing around the system is bearish for these long-dated government bonds in the West, and that yields are in a bottoming out and base building phase, and that they will move higher over the medium to longer term. That the 28-year, some say 30-year, bull market characterized by falling long-dated government bond yields, that was a cycle that was introduced by Paul Volcker, but that's over. And I certainly am in that camp. That move, that bull market is over for long-dated government bonds. The bias is upwards, but I've said that the base building period would be lengthy and choppy. And it's certainly choppy, and it's also showing some length, and I would expect more of that. Once we get into a fourth quarter rally, if not considerably sooner, I would expect in equities, I would expect the bond markets to be weakening, in other words, yields moving up. Looking at currencies, well, you've got the three ugly sisters in terms of sterling, the dollar, and the euro. And the growth economies have the firmer currencies overall. You also have the Swiss franc, which has been firmer overall, but that's causing problems for Switzerland. Swiss National Bank is very concerned about what this is doing to exporters such as Swatch. And you've had a huge amount of European money flooding into Switzerland as investors have moved capital out of the Eurozone and out of sterling. My feeling is that the Swiss franc is pretty overvalued at this stage, but people aren't going to be moving money out of the Swiss franc to any degree until they feel a little more comfortable about some of the problems that are occurring regarding the periphery country debt in the EU. That's going to take time. And they'd also want to feel a little bit more confident about the global economy. But the euro is the big one, and the periphery debt. That's a problem that's going to rumble on here for a while. Also, the U.S. dollar, this is an oversold currency overall, but what causes it to perk up? Fear isn't enough these days because it's not regarded as a major bolt hole by anyone anymore. They'd rather have gold. And I think, though, that given the current oversold reading that we have for the greenback, and the fact that the Fed is talking more actively now about possible inflation targeting, I talked about that yesterday, that an inflation target, I think, would help to firm up the dollar somewhat. It would make a psychological difference. And I wouldn't be surprised if we hear more about that over the next few months. Now, anything else to mention here? That grain and bean complex. What about the Browning newsletter? My goodness. Evelyn Browning Harris had forecast that La Nina right from the beginning, and that it would create havoc in crops. It certainly did last year. She said as it phased out, died down, that it would cause a lot of turbulence in spring. And that was certainly the case. And she also said that weather for crops would improve as we got into the summer. And we're seeing that certainly in Europe, and I believe also in the United States. We certainly need good crop conditions to lower the cost of these staple foods: corn, wheat, soybeans, rice. And there's some evidence that that's actually occurring. So this is a tough patch here for the global economy. A lot of things to worry investors overall. But look forward to the fourth quarter of the year overall, and it could be money-making time once again. I think we are moving towards a buying opportunity in equities. It's a good time to be thinking about what you're interested in. I'm very much interested in the fuller money themes overall. I never want to pay up for those, and when I do, I usually regret it. Following a good sell-off, we have good buying opportunities, and that we certainly need to bear in mind. Point I have mentioned also earlier this week is that when markets are weakening in a corrective phase, sentiment does inevitably deteriorate. That's because people become frightened. And there's also a bit of a media push on that because fear sells. And nobody ever bought a newspaper because it reported the cats that didn't get stuck up a tree in your local neighborhood. So the bad news and the bad forecasts, the bad reports, the bearish forecasts, that's what I should say most of all. Expect the bearish forecasts to increase. They're a contrary indicator overall. And on that note, I'm going to brave the wet, rainy evening and head on home and just say all the best to all of you. Have a fantastic weekend.